Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
Tonight, if I was to ask you the question, what do you see as one of the biggest problems facing the church today, what would your answer be? We'd get different answers from different people. Some might say it's the denominations. They're always teaching their false doctrines, always pulling people away from the truth. Well, that's true, and we'll always have to deal with them. Some might say it's the role of the women, the woman stepping outside of her God-given role, even in the churches of Christ today, and that's having to be dealt with. And some would say it's the false teachers in the church itself. And those are problems. They are problems that we have to deal with and every generation will have to deal with. But what about us? What one thing I see is hurting the church as much as anything else, as much as anything that's just been named, is a sin of omission. The Bible calls that lukewarmness. It's something we need to face and we need to work on. Christians are to be active people in the church. What good is the truth if we have it and we don't teach it? We don't take part in the programs we have it to offer by the church and out teaching our neighbors on this. We're talking about personal work and as a collective congregation, the work we have to be involved in. What good would the truth do us? First of all, I want to lay down one thing we're not talking about. We're not talking about earning our salvation. You don't work your way to heaven. The Bible clearly teaches that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Not of works, at least any man should boast. That should take care of that. We don't earn our salvation, but yet the Christian has an active part to be involved in the church. And John, writing to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, when he writes to the churches, he tells some of their good points. Then he comes to some of their bad points, some things they need to work on. Let's look at the chapter 3 of Revelation and see what he had to say to the church at Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful are true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let's notice something he didn't say here. He didn't say you did absolutely nothing. He didn't accuse them of that. That's not the accusation being made. He says they're lukewarm. That's somebody who just does a little bit, really never catches fire, doesn't have that zeal in their eyes. Notice in verse 19, he says, repent. Lukewarmness is something that we're supposed to repent of. Christians are not supposed to just be so-so. And you may think this might be a lesson that needs to be brought on Sunday morning. That might be true. But being a Christian involves a whole lot more than just showing up for three services. It even involves more than being involved in the work itself of the programs the elders have set forth. But that is included, and that's something we need to look at. Being active in a church is not something that's optional. It's not something you can take or leave and be pleasing to God. You can leave it off. That's your option. That's your choice. But you can't do that and be pleasing to God. How do we know that? Titus 2:14 says that Jesus has redeemed us. Peculiar people says we're zealous of good works. That means you're active in the church. That don't mean people that seldom do something or just a little. You're trying to do whatever you can to help the church to grow. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaken the assembly as the manner of some is. And we have that part down, but look back at verse 24 and see what it says. To what? To provoke unto good works. And that word provoke means encourage. That's one reason we come together like tonight, like this morning, like Wednesday night. To encourage one another, to build each other up for edification, and for the church can be built up. We are to encourage one another to be active. I want to turn to Titus, read several verses out of there. Turn to Titus chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 7. Let's notice some of the things the Bible has to say about being busy, being active, about works, the kind that we're supposed to be doing. Titus 2, verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Notice in chapter 3, verses 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, obeying magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Notice in verse 8, same chapter. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. these things are good and profitable unto men. Is it optional? Not according to God's word, it's not. Notice the verse 14. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. God's not pleased when we're unfruitful. God has told us to be active people, a zealous people, and that's something we definitely need to work on. What did James have to say on the subject? In James chapter 2, verse 26, he said, faith without works is what? He said, it's dead. If you've got faith only, you're no better than what the devils are. They believe and tremble. Faith without works is dead itself. What did James say in chapter 4, verse 17? To him that knows to do good, and does it not, what? It's okay? Because I haven't got time anyway. Get somebody else? No, that's not what he said. To him that knows to do good, and does it not, it is what? Sin. Underscore that. We need to understand what, when we won't be active in the church, when we refuse to help the church and be involved in its activities, it's sin. It's not just something we take or leave. You know the story in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus was telling the story about the man with 5 talents, the one with 2 talents, the one with 1 talent. What did the one with 1 talent do and condemn for it? Nothing. He left his talent and didn't use it. There's some very talented people here. Some definitely got more talent to be up here doing what I'm doing than I do. But if you won't go out and use that talent, what does it profit you? What good is it? One thing, when a man gets up to lead prayer, especially in public, and he gets up and says, God, please help this congregation here grow spiritually and in number, but then you can't get him to do anything, what does that mean? Is that the way God would have us to do? We better think when we get up here to lead a prayer. Do you mean what you say? You're talking to God through Jesus. We need to stop and think about that. One thing we are to think, and take our responsibility serious, the church suffers when we sit idly by. I noticed on the back table in the foyer, there's going to be a lecture next Mississippi that Brother Boyd's going to be involved in. The theme of it is simply good works. That's it. That's the whole title of the theme. We're going to have about a 3 or 4 day lectureship on the works of the Christian. Let's look at some things we can do to be active. On a personal level, and this is included, and I'm not talking about just being simply showing up to the things that the congregation does, although that is included. One is we can support visit ourselves. We've got a visitation program, but I'd hate to know I had to have a card put in my hand before I'd go to see somebody. We need to build that up and work on that. We need to get out and visit ourselves, send cards and phone calls. We've got a should-in list, work on things like that. Attending gospel meetings. That way you learn more about the truth, you're built up, and you can support other congregations too in the truth. If you ever go to gospel meetings very often, you notice the attendance is not what it should be. Usually the attendance will be less than what the Sunday morning crowd is. That doesn't speak well of the church. Speaking of going to gospel meetings, if you want to go to one, make sure you're there on time, go with Charlie Turner. We went to one at Corinth last summer. We were the first ones there by about a week. The meeting didn't start till next week. From there, we decided, well, they're holding a meeting at Oak Grove. We'll go over there. We got time because at Corinth, supposed to start it at 7. It did the next week. Well, at Oak Grove, it's supposed to start at 7:30. So we got over there. Oak Grove wasn't having a meeting. Shady Grove was. After that, we went to the Dairy Queen, got a banana split. As a congregation, what can we do to be active in the church? Well, tonight, all those interested in visitation are supposed to meet up front. I believe that's right. Somebody shake their head. So all 9 groups, according to Ray, needs to meet up front. We can be in that. We need to build that up. We need to wake up and realize who we are and what we're about. Christians serving Almighty God. What's some of the things that stops us from being active in programs like this? In the class that we took on Isaiah, the very last class, Thomas Eves made a point out that in this country, we don't worship idols in the sense of having the wooden statues. Maybe some of that with the new religions coming in. But he said he thinks sports has become our idol in this country. Within itself, there's nothing wrong with sports. I'm glad because there's probably not a bigger sports fan at East End than me. There's nothing wrong with football, baseball, basketball, t-ball, golf, and so forth, unless it gets in the way of you serving God. And then it's a problem, and it needs to be removed. Let's look at one thing this does not mean. Serving God and being involved in these things does not mean to neglect work or family. That would be displeasing to God. What did God say about work? He said, a man that won't work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. We know we're supposed to work to provide for our families. That's part of being a Christian, to be a good worker. You could even bring lessons on that. And what about your family? Well, God told the father to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. But he also told us to be active in the church. Those verses I read in Titus and James, Revelation. He's told us all those to do, so he expects us to do all of them. We've gone entertainment crazy. We work extra money so we can buy more and do more. And in the process, what happens? The church suffers. The work of the church suffers. Work goes undone. It takes all these things to be pleasing to God. But one, last thing I want to close with, the things I've said, and this is a borrowed phrase, weren't said to step on anybody's toes. I had heard this from a cousin. He's preaching too, Wayman Summers. He says, I was aiming straight toward the heart. Just remember that.